everybody, what's going on? Rob Cesarino back here. It's Hit or Quit coverage of Deal or No Deal Island, week 8. And we got a lot to talk about tonight on Give a Fishy to the Banker, baby. We're rolling. What an episode. Jenny Autumn, Dondi!
It's iced tea time on Deal or No Deal. I don't really remember how the song goes, but
here's to you, Mr. Banker.
We love it.
Well done.
Drink some iced tea.
The banker not my money.
On one tonight.
Mazel tov to you, Dawson. Enjoy the 100K as Deal or No Deal Island rolls on here with our embedded reporter who talks to, we'll be talking with Dawson tomorrow morning. It's Chappelle Dundee.
Oh, man. Oh, yeah. I mean, I would love to say I have a lot of questions for Dawson, but I don't. Dawson, you took the 100K, and honestly, who could blame you? It's $100,000 in your pocket right now.
Good
move.
It was a win-win, baby.
Yeah, look, it kept Rob Cesternino here on this podcast, and it also got Dawson some money to help his mom retire, so no harm, no foul. But this is what I was saying last episode. When we talked last time, I was like, y'all, I think y'all would be a little hyper. I think you can't count out Aaron and Rob just yet.
Okay,
just because.
All right, bounce back week. No thanks to Aaron, I might say. He's a nice guy,
should we
but
have
really.
Expected, should we really have been going in expecting?
Like, Aaron, hello, please, could you try?
If only the top six people were safe, but no, Aaron still would have been in trouble.
Yeah.
All right. Like Rob, we'll get into it, but like, we shouldn't have gone into this episode thinking, oh, I'm sure the top four people will be safe. Just interesting times here on Dondi, but I'm not complaining. I'm in great spirits.
Yeah,
I believe I talked about it. I said, when they start making three people safe for three people in the bottom, it's going to get hairy and dicey. And then look at this. You get Nick getting to choose who will go against the guesser, with his only options being his own alliance and Aaron. It's like, yeah, well, what happens here? You know, this alliance really dropped the ball by not all getting in the top four.
Yes.
The status hoo-hoos tonight, too. It was just hoo-hoo.
Except for Dawson, who's hoo-hooing right to the bank.
Yeah, and you know what? He made a good deal that I think he was going to lose.
He was not going to take that deal at that time. He was going to keep playing.
No.
He was going to keep playing, but what were the so it really was going to come down to whatever the next suitcase that he was going to open was, because he had, of the three, he had the middle suitcase, right? That he had, he had what, 2.75 was what he had?
75, yeah.
Right. And then he had one that was, there was one on the board that was 3 million, and then one on the board that was like a low number, right? So he was right in the middle. So it was going to come down to whatever the next case that he opened was going to be, because like, if the deal was going to, if he opens like the low value one and the deal is all right, the banker has the deal. It's $3 million. So he's like, I think he probably says, I think I'm going to stick with my case. Right.
Yeah.
And then he would lose.
I mean, do you think he sticks with his case?
I think that if you have your case and then that 3.5 is like the only like one that, or it's like 2.75 and 3. whatever that's out there, I think you probably would be more likely just to stick with what you have and instead of switch it with the one that's out there, right? All right, he would take the offer. I feel like that when they get down to one suitcase, I feel like that they almost always say, no, I'll open my suitcase.
Yeah, and because I guess like, the money's going to go to the pot. So they're like, I don't know. Mm-hmm. But I felt like they were, this was a different situation than Miranda, where they basically told Miranda, okay, we'll give you, what was it? 40K that she got or something.
Mm-hmm.
If you take this deal, no matter what, but if the deal is bad, you go home. And this time we didn't even know what Dawson was going to do yet. And they're like, banker calls back and is like, okay, this is the offer. And it wasn't and like, and if the if the offer is bad, you have to take this offer. And if it's the if the deal is bad, you go. It was just no matter what, you are leaving. We're not playing mm-hmm. further.
Hey, the banker is a particular type of guy. He makes an offer and he wants something. Precise. Is that the secret word of the day?
It must have been. Jenny, how surprised are you going to be at the end of this when we find out that the banker is actually Rob Sesternino?
Oh my freaking God.
It would make some sense. Very,
a vested interest in the success of a couple of these players. Mm-hmm. And I'm starting to look at look closer to home as to who this person could be.
Yeah.
Rob.
But
I'm
Chappelle,
fine with it.
When precision is the secret word of the day. Was that a Joe Manganiello shout out to Pee Wee, the late great Pee Wee Herman, after we watched him on Pee Wee's Big Holiday on Netflix?
If we are ever so blessed to talk to Joe Manganiello, that's the only thing I want to ask him.
That's
like,
the number one question.
About Pee Wee Herman. Like, I have a few questions about this, but I have a lot of questions about Pee Wee. So, I think we might find out one day if we get lucky.
I think it was 2015, 2016.
It couldn't have been that far back. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Let's talk. We got to go through all this. Okay. Yeah. A lot to unpack. Chappelle's got an interview with Dawson coming up on Tuesday. Great work with Alyssa also, by the way.
Yeah.
Fun interview. Alyssa's memory of the show, nothing like the edit we saw. And so if you are, if you haven't checked out the exit view, check it out.
Well, because she hasn't watched the show, Chappelle. She doesn't.
She didn't watch the temple.
Had her own experience. She doesn't have to watch it.
It sounds like she watched the episode, but just didn't watch the Deal or No Deal game portion of her boot episode.
Mm-hmm.
Probably remembering how it went and said,
she lived
maybe
it.
Not a fun thing to relive.
Yeah. I ain't calling her a liar.
But I would want to see how that was edited.
She's seen it three times.
As like, Pee Wee Herman himself said at the end of Pee Wee's Big Adventure that he says to Dottie, hey, Pee Wee, we're going to miss the movie. He's like, I don't need to watch the movie, Dottie. I lived it.
Dottie or Dondi?
Dottie!
Dawson. Yeah. Alyssa had, she seemed to push back against some of the seemingly, contentious relationship between her and Stephanie, said that, most of it was mostly just Stephanie. She was kind of surprised that there was so much vitriol toward her. And to that I say, really? Was that before or after you decided that you needed a voodoo doll to stab at this woman's likeness? Mm-hmm. But again,
Chappelle, you did not say that.
No, I said I thought that.
I was like, then I missed that part.
No. Listen, I'm here to let these people cook and tell us whatever they want us to believe. And then we have to decide, who would you believe, them or your lying eyes? And so
ears.
Check out the exit interviews every week. And then check out the new exit interview with Dawson as, we have a few questions to get to. And I really kind of want to know how he felt leaving his allies behind.
Mm-hmm. I think he probably felt good. How did the allies feel? Probably different.
Not great.
Yeah.
All right. I don't think they can fault him for taking that bet or that offer. So we'll get his perspective soon enough.
Okay. Jenny, this was a sad start to the episode.
Oh,
that Aaron, he lost the princess card last week. Alyssa was gone. It seemed like he walked off the set, but he seemingly was back with the group. He's still freaking out. He's lashing out at Amy. And he even said, I will avenge you.
Well, and they heard it, which is a whole other thing.
Heard that.
Yeah, so, I mean, oh my God, I wasn't prepared for that reference. they did the great thing with the edit last week where they show Aaron walking off set and we have the caption of him saying, I can't play this game anymore. And we're like, is Aaron going to quit? I mean, we all know that he wasn't going to. But then we just cut to like him and Jordan walking on the beach. And then we're like, hey, more Jordan. Jordan's here. Mm-hmm. One less person. And we got more Jordan. So they're just kind of talking through it. And it seems like, and this is what I think is part of the real turmoil that's going on with Aaron. It's not just about losing Alyssa. He's struggling with like some confidence things here, is my read, because he keeps going back to this thing where he says, like, it's not just how people talked to or about Alyssa in the moment. It was that he didn't defend her. And he says something about like how, you know, what if he wins and he like he's not going to feel good about it if he didn't defend her in that moment. And so it seems like that's eating him up almost more than the fact that Alyssa's gone. It's like in the high intensity moment, I think that he was like getting upset and wanted to say something and then didn't.
Yeah.
And Aaron, that's what I think.
You got to let go of that toxic masculinity. Come on, Aaron.
Yeah.
You
got
to let it go. You can't carry the weight of the world, King. You can't.
Yeah.
You can't.
I know. But the interesting thing is like he is kind of defending her in his own way by, you know, the way that he responds to Amy first in that moment at the end of the last episode where he's like, which she then confronts him about. So there was a scene that was very interesting to me. I'd love to hear you guys' thoughts on that because he approaches. So I thought Rob had gone to bed because we know Rob goes to bed. Because
he wasn't
early.
There. Yeah.
There was a bunch of them sitting at a picnic table. Literally everyone except for Rob. Aaron comes up with like his dinner or something like that, sits down, and Amy's like, "Do you want to talk it out in front of everyone?" And he says, "Only if it's not going to be problematic." And I'm like, "What does that mean? What does that
Basically,
mean?"
As long as you don't say nothing I don't like, then I'm fine.
I like to me problematic. I'm like, it, like only if it doesn't get like extremely intense like toxic, and like toxic. Exactly. Like, you know, like words are like being thrown, like people are saying things heat in the moment. And Amy basically just says like, you know, I didn't. So I guess Amy sees like this is my opportunity to air what I didn't like about the situation. But like Aaron is already so fragile, like he's already upset. And I don't think that Amy understood or cared and was like, this is my opportunity to be like, this is what you did that I didn't like. And Aaron immediately is like, I said nothing problematic. And he gets so upset. And I'm like, oh, no, this is going terribly. Yeah. Where was Rob?
They woke him up. They woke him up after that, Chappelle.
Someone must have called him in.
Yeah.
They definitely woke him up after that. They were like, hey, just so you know, Aaron's crying again. Look. Aaron, I somebody gotta say it. I don't feel bad for you. I do not feel bad for you.
Oh.
I do not feel bad for you. Oh, I've been rooting for Aaron all season. I have a heart. Here we are. And I'm using it to tell you from the bottom of my heart, stand the hell up. Stand up.
Yeah.
Stand up. You're going down.
He did
you're going
stand up.
Yeah. Sad, baby. No.
He stood up against Amy and walked away.
No. No.
Chappelle doesn't Alyssa like people that are a little, I don't want to say crying, but can I say it?
You can say crying.
Yeah.
Listen, here's my thing. From what we were presented on the show at the Banker's Temple, Alyssa started the fight. She over there, Aaron, don't help her. What's that, Alyssa? What you got to say? Oh, I don't care if Stephanie loses. Actually, I'm rooting against her. Then they start arguing, and now Aaron's like, it's too much. Oh, my God. Like, stop talking about my friend. Which, okay, I feel it. I get defensive about my friends, too. But then when you walk up on the table of the people who targeted it and eliminated your friend as they're talking about the elimination, and you sit down like, all right, y'all, I'm here now. Let's just keep it cute. Don't talk about my friend. And they're like, so, Aaron, let's talk about it. He's like, no. And I was like, all right. Aaron? Sir, you win some, you lose some. Everybody gets eliminated at some point. You got to bounce back. That's why I don't feel bad. I need you to bounce back because we say that Aaron didn't quit the game, but he definitely did. Mm-hmm. Even though he was in this episode, he did nothing like to move the needle, to save himself. He did nothing. It was literally by the grace of the banker that Aaron survives this round.
Yes. And time heals all wounds, and I think that this was like a minor miracle that he and Rob get through this episode unscathed after this.
And really unscathed, though? I mean, I think Aaron's still probably hanging on by a thread.
But I don't know if they leave this episode in a worse position than they entered. I think they're frankly in a better position than they entered.
And it seems like he's
shaking off the hangover a little bit. Like, I feel like that Aaron, I think, is going to be back to himself in the next episode. You don't think so?
Maybe now. Not the next day. Yeah, but, he needed more than one day.
You don't think by next week he's going to be at least able to like participate in the challenge?
Or do you think it's just over? He lost Alyssa. He lost his power.
I think he's going to bounce back.
He's acting like that. I'm the one. Listen, I was the one championing him last week. I was like, he still got a chance.
I just want to know if this is a phase.
The whole episode.
I just want to know if you think that this is a phase or if like it's just continued downward spiral from here. Or if he just needs to have a moment, have his feelings, feel bad for himself a little bit, and then, you know, dust the shoulders off.
I
and
just
then
sleep
come
on
back
it again. Like,
oh, like
I think he's gonna come out on the other side of this, Chappelle.
And Rob's gonna pump him up.
He needs a real confidence boost. Not that Boston Rob nonsense. He needs
manipulative
to win.
Like,
hey, Aaron, you're great. Please don't quit the game. Please. I need a shield.
You're kind of screwing me over, man.
For the love of God, get it together. Mm-hmm. Yeah. He doesn't need one of those. He needs to win a challenge. I think Aaron needs to come in and there needs to be something that he can outright be immune and give himself a little wiggle room where he doesn't have to stress about this. Because I think the reason why I'm like, I'm not letting him off the hook yet, because this whole episode, like I said, none of it was due to his own doing. What was about to happen. It was like a train that had gotten away from him and that he wasn't even chasing after anymore. And so, yeah, he survives this one, but I really think he needs to have some more agency. And right now it's just like, I won't even say floating. He's literally getting dragged week to week by the banker at this point.
So we see Rob go out and go and talk to Aaron. And look, that we can admit two things of like, okay, one, like Rob needs Aaron for his own benefit in the game. But I really do think that there seems to be like, as you know, we've watched the evolution of this guy for over 20 plus years on television, that this did seem like sincere and not something that you would have seen a younger Boston Rob do, seem to have interest in the well-being of Aaron.
100%.
Chappelle, you're not buying it?
What?
It feels so fatherly. It feels so genuinely.
You don't need to say anything.
I didn't say anything, Jenny. Jenny, just go ahead with what you're saying.
Well, I just want to say, like, I feel like even though we're seeing some of Rob's greatest hits and like, you know, he's still the same guy. He still has the skills and like the tactics that he's used in, you know, the many times he's played other games. However, I do feel like we're getting glimpses of like different energy or maybe just like more matured energy. He's going to bed late or early. He's not staying up and watching everyone. And I also just feel like the way that he talks to Aaron is he sees him as
a child,
you know, not even necessarily a little brother, like almost literally like one of his children. Mm-hmm. But in a sweet way, like in a where I truly believe that he feels like this responsibility over him, the way that he feels responsibility over his daughters and like wants to support them, but like wants to like encourage them to like do better and stuff, but also hurts to see them hurt because he cares about them in a way that is different than other people he's played with.
Think if he was insincere, I think he would say it to the camera. Like, I think he might go out there and like do what he needs to do to give Aaron the pep talk, but unless you feel like that, you know, and look, Rob's been around the reality TV game for a long time. I think he knows that that might come across as highly unlikable to the audience, but I think he would still, if he was fake, like, I think he would make fun of him in a way of like, Aaron's being a baby. I gotta go talk to him. Like, I think he would give us a little bit of a peek that he was being insincere with Aaron.
The man has a heart. We know this.
Yes.
He says, you know I get painted as a villain, but I mean, damn, the boy crying. I got to help him, you know? But I will say this, objectively, Aaron's probably worst, like, he's Boston Rob's worst number one ally since Coach. You know, like, so he's, the man is, like, literally, like, if this is Coach, Boston Rob goes to him and says, you're a grown-ass man. You know, like, stop crying on the beach. Stop mm-hmm. it. You're a grown man. We're not doing this. You know, this ain't Coach, though. This is Aaron. He's a lot younger than Rob. Rob wasn't talking to Nat 10 like this. You know what I'm saying? He was like, hey, Nat 10, we're not quitting. She was like, okay. And that was it. You know, he's basically like keeping Aaron in against his will almost. Like, I'm sure if Rob looked away for too long, Aaron's just going to disappear into the island. Like, he left, you know.
Walk off into the ocean. Yeah.
He was swimming into the ocean, screaming something about a princess. I don't know. And so, yeah, I enjoy the partnership between the two of them. But again, if I want to see Aaron and Boston Rob do well, I need Aaron to do something. I need him to step it up, because this is now getting to the point where if we don't make five people immune, Aaron, I'm sorry, you're going to get eliminated.
Well, and that's the thing, is it's not like that Rob is excusing. Like, we see these glimpses of Rob's like kind of exasperation and like frustration that like this is his sole ally left in the game. And I truly believe that Aaron has been his number one person this entire time. But, you know, when he had some other options and Alyssa was also still in the picture, like there were more outs for him to kind of like insulate himself. And now it's really all down to Aaron. But, you know, we get these little like comments of him being like, oh, and I'm walking through and then I see Aaron. It's like just treading water. Like, what are you doing? Like, it's not like he's doing it without criticism. And even the way that he talks to him, like, you know, we've seen it like in little pieces throughout the episodes, like the way he's like, you remember like one of the first episodes where he's like, hey, you know, the way you got to talk to me first, buddy. You can't be going and doing that. Like, he is truly like mentoring him, but in a way where he like sees him as, you know, like his inferior. Like, it's like a child relationship, like way more than I think than even like a little brother. Like, I think he really feels like his dad. And I also think it's like a different relationship because like they're both guys. Like, I don't necessarily think that this would be the same way if it was like a super young girl. I think that he's like, I don't know. I just think they have like a very interesting relationship that we've never seen Rob work with someone like this on any of the shows. And he's a different guy now. Like, he's literally looking at Aaron and like seeing him as his child, possibly because he's the same height as all of his daughters. We saw the picture.
Yeah,
okay,
you're not making that up. Like, that's just math. Yeah. Yeah.
He fits right in. But here's my issue. Let me talk to you real quick, Boston Rob. I know you're listening. Let me tell you something. I'm trying to skidoo into his brain. You're going to lose this game because of this young boy. You need to ditch him. The only time, Rob, that you do poorly in this game is when you're emotionally invested in these people. When you got emotionally invested in Amber, you came in second place. This man is about to lead you to your grave. Ditch him. Jordan is right there. I know. You didn't know that until now. We didn't either. But let me tell you something. That woman has worked her way into the middle. You and Aaron are about to be shooting at the hootie-hoos. They're going to be shooting back at you. And Jordan's just going to waltz her way to the end. And you are aligned with Aaron. Aligned with Jordan. Jump ship, Rob. You can do this. We've come so far.
We did start to see more Jordan in this episode. She too was checking on Aaron. She feels like that she's in a good spot in the middle. So at least Jordan, two episodes in a row, has started to emerge here at the final six. But
visibility spike.
Yeah. But as Rob and Aaron are, you know, they're realizing they're on the bottom. Here come the night owls.
They're pissing me off now, Rob. I was trying to hold my tongue. I was being nice before. I was like, all right, it was cute for a minute. You said, is this the worst alliance ever? And I said,
I didn't say that.
You said something like that. You asked the question.
I think, man, I'm
done. Run it back.
If I ask the question, like, that's not the same as saying that.
I'm just saying, like, you know, and Chappelle and I said, we know you've watched Big Brother. There have been terrible alliances.
Yeah, I said what it said. Yeah.
This episode, the first half of this episode especially, I was getting a little frustrated because it's like when you get a victory, And like, because I think that the Night Owls came together as like some sort of opposition, right? Like they're like Rob and his minions. They're like getting everything they want. They're running this game. They're calling it the Rob Mob. They're still saying Rob Mommy.
The two-person mob.
Yeah. Like everyone knows the classic two-person mob. So powerful. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so it was like they felt they were like the underdogs at first. And they kind of like banded together to be like this opposition to the Rob Mob. And now they are the majority alliance of the game. And they are gloating. And we never want, you know what I mean? Like, it was like I supported their venture. And then they got what they wanted. And they... I just felt like they were relishing it a little too much, you know? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, this is how you have me like rooting with every piece of me for Rob to just run the table. Because like, I want it to be a fair game, you know? Like, obviously I'm rooting for Rob to do well.
Yeah.
But now I'm like, I want him to just like, because he's become the underdog. Like he has Aaron who is not even finishing the challenges. And they're up there laughing and talking about like, what did you say when you opened the briefcase? Like run it back. Like they're just like feeding into each other's like gossip. Like, I don't know. They became villains.
Would you say it was bullying, Jenny?
No, it's not bullying because they're not going. They're not. First of all, don't entrap me like that. you drama monger, Rob, trying to stir the pot.
I'm not saying it. I'm just saying people on Twitter are saying it.
I don't think that there was any bullying, but I do think that.
Are you sure?
They were. Someone? I didn't see it. I don't know.
I deleted them.
Okay, well, how did you do that? I just felt like they got a little too high on their own supply in the first half of this. And they're like, we are running this, like, this is so good. And that's how you live too long, live long enough to become the villain. And that's
what they say about dealing with the island. Yeah.
And it would have been worse if Dawson didn't go like tonight. Like I would have come in here tonight and I would have been insufferable because I would be just preparing for them to be, you know, dancing on Aaron's grave at the beginning of the next episode.
Yeah.
And I just thought that wouldn't feel good to me. So I am at least glad that they were humbled, even though it's not even a humbling. They needed to take a hit here.
They took an L.
The Night Owls were just a little too cocky in this episode. Yeah. And we needed to even the playing field back a little bit.
Okay. Rob tells us, okay, that he thinks also that Aaron is going to be okay. And he made an analogy about how,
hey, remember that time Larry Bird was in the playoffs and he was sick? That's what this is like with Aaron.
Of course, Chappelle, this is the epitome of NBA sick player in the playoffs analogies. There is no better example that Rob could have gone with here than that time Larry Bird
Celtics. Yeah, don't nobody care.
Was sick in the playoffs.
He knows.
No, stop it. Stop it. Kobe Bryant did way too much. Dirk Nowitzki did way too much in the playoffs for you to go to Larry Bird. Sorry, mm-hmm. Come on now. I mean, there are more topical references in the last decade that you could go to.
He's Boston centric. It's like
but let us in on a joke. Hell, we were like Larry who? Lawrence?
Yeah.
Lawrence Bird?
That's what I think of when I think of Aaron. I'm like Larry Bird.
Larry Bird. Yeah.
Like,
Larry
that's the
Aaron Bird.
I know they're the Boston brains. But there's no Michael Jordan flu game. Nothing.
Michael Jordan, Dirk, you know. I mean, there's a lot of crazy games that we've seen where people just pull themselves up. And to be fair, Michael Jordan was poisoned by the state of Utah. Let's just call it what it is. But, you know what I'm saying? Like, there have been other games. Like, people have done some amazing things. Kobe has done some amazing things. You know, like, we've seen it. We've seen these people do outrageous things, you know, in the last 200 years. So, no disrespect to Larry Bird, but, you know, there's some more recent references.
But it's the mass connection that he has with Aaron. He's got to make the reference that is relevant to the two of them.
Aaron has never seen Larry Bird a day in his life. because he's 12.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He thinks Larry Bird is a Pokemon.
No. I got the Larry Bird card. I got the princess card. These are all things that exist in Magic the Gathering, of course.
Look here. I think the reason why it's really tough to root for the Night Owls, who could also be a Larry Bird, if you will.
You got the Night Owl card, the Larry Bird card.
The Larry Bird Night Owl, yeah. But yeah, I think the reason why it's hard to root for them is exactly what you were saying, Jenny. They're in the majority, and we rarely see Rob in these spots where he's just outnumbered and it looks like he's about to get picked off. You know, like in Winners at War, we saw that he was kind of in that position, but you know, you kind of held out hope that maybe Rob's going to sit here and just like rob this thing to the end. And it just doesn't happen. But like, we don't ever see him in that position that he was in way back in the Marquesa, where it's just like, he's just a number that has to go. And here it's literally him and Aaron just counting the deck chairs on the Titanic. They're like, well, I guess we're going to go down. Which one is it? Yeah. And when is it going to happen? What can we do to stay afloat? I guess I'll win immunity. So yeah, I was rooting for Boston Rob to take out this alliance a little bit.
With all due respect to the Night Owls, who I'm sure are, we're joking around. I'm sure they're all lovely people, but as human beings watching this television show, we don't know them. We don't know them.
Okay. I kind of like the Night Owls. I'm going to just go ahead and tell you right now, because Amy's fun.
Yeah.
I feel like I know them now.
Yes. We know a lot of Stephanie. And Nick is giving us all the ins and outs of being a sanitation worker that I had no clue existed. True. You know what I'm saying? Like, I didn't
precision
know they had
IQ is tests. Driving the COVID.
Bro. But yeah, she said it. You know, like, no, nah, but I think we're getting to know them. Yeah, Stephanie. We've learned a lot about Stephanie. And I think, honestly, of all the Night Owls, the one we knew the least about is the one they got rid of this episode. Dawson is gone. Maybe they should be trying to recruit Jordan into the Night Owl since we barely know her.
Maybe.
I mean, she wasn't it. I think maybe they lost her. And this is one of the things I liked about Jordan's visibility spike in this episode specifically, is not only were we finally getting to see her on our screen like we did last week, she was also getting confessionals where she talked about her position in the game. Like, I loved the awareness of, you know, her saying, you know, I'm kind of in the middle. I've been making really great relationships and connections with literally everyone in the game. And she knows the power structure in the game. She literally called it out. Like, Rob and Aaron are together. And then she didn't say the Night Owls. She might not know they have an alliance name, but she said Amy, Stephanie, and Dawson and Nick are together, and I'm good with all of them. And that puts me in a great position because no one's targeting me first. So I loved this for Jordan. She knows her place in the game, and she knows that that's like cakewalk territory for her. But it's interesting to me where she wants to go here. Like, do you think that Night Owls are just going to be like, oh, hey, we kind of hung out with you a little bit. Like, do you want to like just take Dawson's place in our majority alliance here? Like, where was I before?
Yeah, I mean, where were you, Jordan? Hell, we've been watching the same show you was on, and we haven't seen you except for to hear your strategy. Like, again, I'm not trying to read the edit too much, but we have the little bit we've learned about Jordan is that she's in the middle and she doesn't want anybody to come after her. So she's not going to try to openly come after anybody. And she's seemingly pulling that off flawlessly right now. So I don't know how they even get Jordan if they're not able to rope her in. Because if Jordan is in the position where she has to pick somebody, it behooves her to leave Boston Rob and Aaron around, you know, like, whatever. They're not coming after me. And maybe they're bigger
just
fish
keep
to fry.
Evening it out.
Exactly. Yep. Keep playing both sides. Are we team Jordan here? You know, I don't know. Might be.
I mean, she literally called herself, she said she was floating. She understood the proper definition of floating and acknowledges that that's what she's doing in the game. And so, like, I have respect for her. It's not her fault that she hasn't been shown that much until this point. I don't know what that means for her fate in the game, but I just enjoyed that we at least got some insight on like how she saw her place in the game and that she was aware of the fact that she's literally in the middle here, and that's a great position to be. So, like, you know, if there were a fishy, I would maybe extend a fishy to Jordan in this episode, right?
Still like, the banker, but I hear your point.
Still the banker.
Yeah. Oh, true. Okay. Yes.
Yeah. Hate you guys. Fair. Hate the banker. Hate the fishy. Yeah.
Let's talk about our excursion to the Swamp of Secrets. Okay. Joe says, all right, I heard y'all ready for a jungle cruise. Well, this is more of a super unpleasant land slog, he called it.
This felt reminiscent of Beyond the Edge to me. I don't
it's
know.
It's going
to
be hot. Yeah. It's going to be damp.
It's going to be
follow
muddy.
The rope. Mamma mia. Yeah. All right.
I would love to see Joe and Moro together. Joe looked hot tonight. I'm sorry to be thirsty on Maine, but yeah, I don't know. He was wearing like the same green that I'm wearing tonight. Mm-hmm. And I just like, I don't know. I just love seeing his outfits. It's like part of the fun for me. Like, okay, Jeff Probst is always wearing some version of the same shit. Okay. It's like, he's wearing the black, you know, whatever shirt, and he's wearing the blue one. He's wearing like some sort of version of the same shorts. It's a uniform. Joe has like a little bit, like Joe has swag. He's like wearing like different versions of like the same idea. He does have kind of like a uniform out there, but it's like so much style. So hot. Anyway. That's just me being.
I just have to Jenny's, give. Jenny's corner.
Yeah. That's me. Let me have my moment. Okay, Joe. Yeah, Kim, I see it. Okay. And you were seeing it in the flesh, and I understand. I don't know. Mm-hmm. The more time I see it, I'm like, that green's really working for you, Joe. Like, hello. Let's have some tea.
Okay, Joe.
Big Dick Rick.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. So. Follow the ropes, go out to a case. The cases don't have markings on them. Once you get out there, you just got to follow the rope through. Interesting wrinkle here of that there is sabotage that is able to be done. Now, sabotage. I thought that this was interesting where four people being safe definitely does help Rob. But the idea that everybody could sabotage one person... Chappelle, like, I feel like if this show was really, really trying to help Rob, I feel like they would not have instituted something like this.
I mean, unless they, you know, thought exactly what happened was going to happen, which is everybody tries to throw everybody off by like, I really want to target Rob, but I guess I'll put one on Aaron. They'd be like, Aaron's like, Dawson?
Terrible like, job by the Night Owls. Terrible job.
Yeah,
they could all put your sand on Rob. And it wasn't like that he went last or anything. He was like kind of in the middle. They're afraid of him.
Third or fourth. Afraid.
But they should be. That's the thing. If it was just a matter of if Rob doesn't win immunity, we can vote Rob out and he goes home, fine. But you still have to beat the banker and then also eliminate Rob. So just putting all your chips into, like, let's get him out basket, you could miss, as we would have saw. You know, if this had happened, and let's say Rob was in the bottom three and Dawson is the one who goes up to do the Deal or No Deal Island, they offer him $100,000. He says, nope, I'm good. Well, you all just piled on Rob and he got away with it. Like, he survived. And now he's coming back harder than ever. So you can't.
But you got to take a shot eventually. Like, you got to get him out.
But I mean, well, they're still Aaron. And so that's what I'm saying. You could do the half measure. And I think that's what they did. It's not the sexy move. Yeah. And it's probably not even the best move. But at the same time, I can see why they would do it. It'd be different if that person was dead to rights and they're going home. They could still survive up until the 13th hour, you know? So
exactly.
What you gonna do?
And I think that the way, like, the structure of the game means that, you know, putting yourself out front as like because they're an alliance, they all have the same goal at this point. They all think that Rob is now the biggest threat. Because I do think that Stephanie still was always going to target Alyssa over Rob, but and so they have a common goal, but none of them want to be the main person in front of the opposition to Rob, because when Rob plays against the banker and makes a good deal, that's who's getting eliminated. And none of them want to step up and show their cards. They're literally all saying it. Stephanie literally explains her strategy here being like, I don't want to be the person that Rob is looking at the most. So I'm not going to go and pile on him and directly go against him. And so they're all too afraid of getting, you know, the backlash because one, he's good. He's probably, when there's four people that are going to be safe anyway, he still has a very good chance of getting one of those briefcases just because how the hell does he do it? And also, if he is in the bottom and he gets some luck on his side and he's eliminating someone, none of them wanted to be the person that he goes after. Although I think the guys probably should have just done it, because I don't think he was going to go after Nick or Dawson. I think he's going to take out Amy or Stephanie, like for sure, yeah. But
it feels like Stephanie for sure, Jimmy.
I still think that Amy would have been the right one, but I'm saying the same thing as I said last week. But then it's like, and then it was hard to watch because they're like, okay, the half measure is let's just hold Aaron's head underwater and just drown him. Like, he's already just struggling so hard. And they say, okay, well, none of us want to, like, you know, like poke the bear that is Boston Rob. So we're just going to take his poor maimed little friend and just like finish him like Mortal Kombat. So that was like tough to watch.
Fatality. When
like they literally, they're like, he's not gonna do it anyway, you know, like you're just confirming he'll be in the bottom. And that is probably the only move if you're too afraid to be the person that strikes at Rob here. But you're right, I think it would have been better to see someone say, like Dawson's talking about, like, I'm gonna make my big move, and then he just like piles on to Aaron,
and then takes the money. Dawson, which one is it? I thought you were gonna make a move, baby. You know, but it was the
taking
same.
The bag, I guess.
Yeah. Look, probably the right move.
It was the right move. No shade to Dawson for taking the money.
No,
definitely. I'd love $100,000.
I'd like to talk about it at the end. How about that?
Let's talk about it at the end.
Yeah, but I think it's very Big Brother, right? Where you have your two people up. And you're like, one of them has to go. I need a pawn. I'm gonna tell this person they're the pawn because they can't know that they're their actual target unless they become the actual target. In which case, that'll be after the veto, and they can do nothing to save each other. And then I have to go and make nice with that person because they're coming back to play again next week, and they can be the HOH. It's like, I cannot leave Rob to his devices, knowing that I was his main target, like the number one person targeting him, because then he can target me next week when he has free reign. Because chances are he might win immunity, and if he doesn't, he might be going up against the banker, and he has to pick somebody. And so, yeah, I think the game mechanic is very interesting because it did encourage them to not all show their cards, but also to not pile on one person and, like, you know, kind of gang up on them, because we've seen that's not the best TV. Mm-hmm. But I think in a general sense, if there's no option for Rob to come back and avenge him, like to survive this, then you pile all of it on Rob, you leave Aaron to his devices and assume he's not going to do anything either.
Yeah.
And then you just go and lock up those top four spots. That's all you have to do.
If it was the other way around, and Rob had the numbers, and there was one person who was like the antagonist, he would have had all his people put the sand on the one person.
But he wouldn't have. But he wouldn't have put his hand on
everyone. No, everyone else would be taking the heat. Yeah.
That's a good point. Exactly. That's a good point. Yeah.
And that's the gotcha. Rob would have been like, I went after Jordan. She was, nobody got any heat on her all
no
game.
No freebie.
And everybody would be like, okay.
Yeah.
And everybody would be like, oh, Jordan, you're so funny. Coincidentally, Rob is the one person who has called out Jordan's name as a potential person that they should be targeting. And everybody's been like, oh, shut up, old man. Like, they're not paying him any mind.
Yeah.
I think he's right, y'all. I think she's the one.
He knows. But also, he needs to I don't think she's in any danger from Rob right now because he needs to actually get rid of people that are like going for him.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I think we can yada yada a little bit of the pulling the ropes to get to everybody. Everybody has to pull the ropes, get through long slog, whatever. Rob and Nick are going for the same thing. Rob eventually is like, what do I need this aggravation for? I'm going to go just find a different case.
I don't even know why he decided to go like, the fact that he made even the decision to just start going after the same one with him, it's like, I just felt like he should have even decided earlier and just picked the rope that was the next highest that was left there. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know how he figured. I don't know if he had any idea what he ends up picking, but like, I just felt like he acknowledges that Nick is a big, strong guy. And he's, if it comes down to a physical thing, like, you don't want to be in a situation where you have no rope because you're fighting over the same one.
Right.
I was kind of surprised that he even went for it. I was like, yeah, I don't think you want to be battling like toe to toe with Nick here. And he realizes it pretty quickly, I guess. Mm-hmm.
He's tougher than him. I'm sorry. Rob called it out. He said he's a big guy with big arms. Yeah.
But look, his arms are big, but
Rob is a reality TV competition magician. Okay, because there's no reason why he should be like, dang.
Please, no magicians. Please, listen.
I'm just saying, the man works miracles. He's like, dang, I'm actually losing this little battle against Nick. Guess I'll just grab a random case from over here. Oopsie, I got the second highest one. I'm immune. He's like trips and falls into immunity. Look at him. Yeah. I'm sorry. How can
I know?
Yeah,
incredible.
Speaking of trips and falls, Aaron is out there and he's just like wandering through the swamp. Like Rob has to like bring him a case. Like, what was it? Braxton? Who was the Branson?
Branson.
Branson had to do with Branson. Kim Matina early on. Of like, here's a case for you. Take
but
this
you have
back.
To bring it back, and that was that. Was
I hate the swamp. Yeah,
like banker.
Swamp. Yeah.
Trees.
There's a snake. Like, Dawson sees a snake along the way.
Dawson's face when he saw that. No, I thought it was Nick.
I thought Nick saw the snake.
Sorry,
but it was his eyes that took me. I was like, wait, what is he looking at? He's just like, And then I saw the snake. I was like, oh, stop it. That's an excuse.
Yeah.
I mean, lots of trees and branches. It seemed like the untangling, like getting to the case and getting it out of like the tree or whatever it was in didn't seem to be like the hardest part. It was like untangling it from wherever it was and then getting it back. That seemed to be hard. Because even Jordan, who seems pretty like physical and good, was really struggling and only had a couple minutes to get back. But I just thought it was interesting, like, Rob eventually just decides to go for another case that he just sees. He's not following a particular rope. He just looks and he's like, that one looks hard to get. And then he's like, that must be a good one. And I think the funny thing is I think that the case that he ended up grabbing was the one that Dawson thought he was getting. Because I'm pretty sure that the number that Rob got, Dawson was going for initially, and he comes back and it's so Dawson initially starts going for the 3.75 million and I don't know what happened along the way, but the case that Rob brings back is 3.75 and Dawson ends up with 2.75.
Well, I think that there were points where it, like all of the ropes like kind of like intersect like in the water. Yeah. So I think that Dawson probably
hard to tell from watching. Yeah. Like I had no idea what's going on.
Yep. Dawson ends up following the wrong rope
or something. They should have done like a visual, like different color, like showing, I don't know. Mm-hmm. I feel like technology is there because I just truly had no idea what was going on.
Yeah.
I was like,
I think it's fine. I think we got what we needed to get. It's fine.
But I guess then maybe it gets rid of the suspense.
Yeah.
But I would have loved, like, I love on like reality TV where like someone's looking for something and then it's like they use like graphics to show like it's over there. Like, Like I felt like I would have loved a little bit of that sort of thing where like we had an idea of like where people were going wrong or something. I don't know, just for funsies, but it's fine.
All right. Well, we get Nick back first. He's got the 4.5 million, declares himself king of the jungle.
Him and Dundee.
Yep. Okay. All right.
This is his island.
And Rob comes back. He's got 3.75. He's going to be safe. And they celebrate with Jenny, as you mentioned earlier, iced tea time.
Tea time. It's iced tea time on Deal or No Deal Island. I have no idea how the song went, but it was adorable watching. Like, because Rob knows he's safe. Like, they're the only two that have come back. But mathematically, Rob's case, I think, was like the third highest.
Nailed
so
it.
Even... like, there was no situation where he wasn't going to be safe. So he's like, let's have some freaking tea, my guy. Like, him and Nick are buddies again. Like, I love their relationship because they're like the two, like, tough, like, I don't know, like, the bro-y guys. And I think that they like have affection for each other, but they're competitive with each other. And then when they don't have to be at odds anymore and Rob realizes that they're both going to be safe and they don't have to like be at war, it's like, all right, let's have some tea. Let's have a great time. Like, I love relaxed Rob, you know?
Yeah. Chappelle, do you think that there's an opening now that Dawson is gone for Nick to come back to the fold a little bit with Rob?
Absolutely. Rob, I don't understand how you dropped the ball on this relationship. You should be going to Nick and saying, we're the two big guys. They're not going to let us get to the end. Everybody thinks that it's physical. We should be the shield for each other. Blah, blah, blah. Let's just try to get all these immunities and get these weaker people out. Like, Rob, you got to pivot. Leave Aaron behind.
Don't worry, Chappelle, because I think that after this episode, I think that Rob's going to have the conversation with Nick like,
hey, I thought that was kind of crappy thing that, you know, Dawson left you here all alone. Like, that wasn't right. Shouldn't have done that.
And it's like,
he's not a bro.
I like Nick because Nick normally would fall into the archetype of people that you would just see kind of fall for that. But he's been like kind of subverting those expectations this whole game. Like, the fact that he's not broing down with Boston Rob is very interesting to me. Like, how is he not? But Rob, this is normally cake for you. You normally could scoop up a Grant Matos, you know, without trying. And so, yeah, he's like, hey, Nick, I like your pearl necklace. You wanna be on my team now? And Nick's like, yeah, sure. And the next thing you know, he's gonna be like, hoo hoo, like Nick's playing a game. I think Rob needs to start looking for other options of people who might be immune for a while. And Nick seems like somebody who's gonna be tough to beat in some of these challenges.
Mm-hmm.
I think they definitely mutual respect sort of situation, but yeah, that's like what's kind of fun about this cast is they're not just all blindly like falling into the Rob trap and being, you know, just like soldiers for him. And you know, we talked about the sabotage and the challenge. Nick was the only person that added to Rob's sand. He was like the second person to go, I think. And he just like, he said, you know, oh, I'm going to, this is an easy decision. He said, gotta go for the guy that I won with last week or something like my partner from last week. And so I'm like, hey, Nick isn't afraid to like kind of actually go after Rob. Like, Nick is the one person that is okay with taking the heat with Rob, which I think is very interesting. But I do think they just have like little mutual affection for each other. I think that Rob looks at Nick and he's like, reminds me of me when I was younger on one of these shows, you know? I don't know. I just like, it's fun. And I do think that that is the angle that Rob needs to take with Nick here, being like, hey, everyone was looking at you and Dawson as like the two. And I think that now we need to look out for each other because we're the last two physical guys out here and they're going to start worrying about us. We're winning lots of comps. Like, that's what he needs to do. And I'd love to see it work, but we'll see. Nick, it's not easy. Like, he's like, he has a mind of his own.
Yeah.
Okay. Amy, Dawson, Aaron, that's the bottom three. That's who's eligible for Bankers Temple tonight. Now, we saw Aaron. He came back. No case in hand. Very sad moment. Couldn't fight for Alyssa.
This is the moment he lost me. This is it. This is the moment. This is the moment where I was like, all right. Because it's like the, like, womp, 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 like sad trombone. He's like walking over. Like, I miss Alyssa. Like, girl, he's gone. She's gone. She's gone. We got to fight.
You have to move on.
She's gone.
Yeah. She's gone. Oh, she's gone. Oh,
she's gone.
Oh,
look. Yes. Listen, listen. When Rob says, Aaron, they're in the ocean talking, you need to go talk to him. And I was like, I don't want to talk to him. I was like, oh, God, get out. Leave.
He almost stomped. Like, that's what I'm saying. It is like, it is his child. But did you notice, okay, I mean, Joe is out here stirring the pot. We know Joe is emotionally invested in this game. He wants the tea and not just the stuff they're serving after you finish your challenge. Did you notice that Joe is emotionally invested in Aaron? Because I noticed numerous times in this episode, Joe is cheering Aaron on specifically. He's like, come on, buddy, you got this. Like, he's rooting for Aaron. I think Aaron was so down bad in this episode that Joe himself is like, whatever I can do to lift this guy's spirits. Because when he comes back with nothing, Joe literally says, Aaron, empty-handed, breaks my heart. I'm sorry. You're not seeing Jeff Probst say that. Jeff doesn't give a shit. He's not brokenhearted. If you do bad in the challenge, Joe was hurt to see Aaron back with nothing.
Yeah, I'll give you that. But I don't want to say that Joe is like totally like one-sided, because I think that like when Nick comes back with the $4.5 million, he's like, I'd love to see it for you. So
no, I think he's just invested in the players, like emotionally.
He knows Aaron is giving them good TV. Like, I think that, you know, he's not blind.
No, I don't think that he's like biased or anything necessarily in that, but that he's like, he's so invested in like them and their stories that I like to see his emotional reactions to like what's happening. Like, it's not robotic. He's like, I truly believe that he's like, man, he knows Aaron's in a tough position and to see him come back with nothing, it sucks.
But I think his whole role in the show is the good cop to the banker's bad cop. You know, he's the one, he'll give them a high five if they do something good. You know, he's like, he's not the one snuffing their torch.
Yeah. No, he's just the messenger of the evil banker. The
Don't shoot him. So he's rooting for all of them. All right. Yeah. They go back, as Chappelle said, that Aaron is, can't even go and talk to, Dawson. He's like, Rob is pushing him. Hey, you got to go convince him to let you play. He's like, I don't know.
Like, no, I don't wanna. I hate you guys. Mm-hmm. I hate the banker.
Yeah.
Well, and the funny thing is that of the people here, like with Nick being the one that has the decision and that being the person that he ultimately needs to talk to, like, I'm pretty sure Nick is the person he has the best relationship with. Like, it sounded like, as we've talked about in previous episodes, like Nick and Rob and Aaron, so Nick thought, were like a three. And so I think that Nick and Aaron were cool with each other and they just kind of fumbled Nick. And it didn't seem like any of the mean-spirited stuff around Alyssa had anything to do with Nick. So I think that of all people for Aaron to have to like kind of, you know, swallow his pride and go and approach, like, this would have, like, imagine if it was Amy that was in power here or Stephanie, like, this would never happen. He would not have even talked to them. I'm sure of it.
Mm-hmm.
So at least it was just Nick.
Okay.
It didn't end up doing anything, but at least he had the conversation.
All right. Dawson says he's ready to go up against the banker. He's ready to rock. He's ready to go. Okay.
I mean, you know, Nick talks through like the decision. I mean, you kind of know what he's going to do here, but he's saying like, okay, you know, I either pick one of my alliance members, they beat the banker and Aaron goes home, or I pick one of my alliance members and they lose and they go home. It's like kind of a simple situation here. Like, it is what it is. It's like one of my alliance members or Aaron is going home. When there's only three people literally at risk, it kind of makes it simple here. And it's luck, kind of. Like, it's mostly just luck at this point. Mm-hmm. And so you might as well just let Dawson play, because that's the fair thing to do, because we're spreading the wealth.
Okay, so I want to just look at the stats here a little bit here. This is episode 8 of Dondi, okay?
Okay.
We have seen 8 times the banker's temple. We have seen one time where there was a non-elimination. So let's throw out the Amy versus the banker. Okay, 7 times versus the banker. 2 times we've seen the banker make an offer that allowed the person to just leave the game. So let's take out the Miranda. Miranda and Dawson here. So then,
because those games did not really see. Well, I guess the Miranda one did kind of see its way through. But anyway,
I mean, it wasn't basically the full. Anybody who's about to target Boston Rob's alliance has to kind of get a personal.
So then there's 5 other times. Well, the only person that we've seen lose and make a bad deal has been Claudia Jordan, right?
Yeah.
The banker is 1-4. So
yeah. Wow, he sucks, eh? I hope it's not you, like Chappelle said. Jeez.
We'll see.
Rob has one goal.
I'm just insulting you to we'll your face.
Yeah. So.
Oh, you know, Jenny, the banker loves when you do that.
It seems like that based off of what we're seeing, and maybe, I don't know if there's some sort of like bias where it's like if you played 100 times, it would end up being more 50-50, but the banker is not doing so great in terms of beating the players. The players are sort of like having their way. And so it seems like at this point in the game, I guess you want to be immune, but going against the banker is certainly better than sitting there and not having a shot.
That's what everybody's identified. Like, if you're not going to be in the top, you need to be the person playing Deal or No Deal, because that's the only way you can assure that someone doesn't eliminate you, because you go unless up against the banker. And, unless you're Jordan. if you look at the stats, even it just seems like beating the banker at Deal or No Deal isn't that hard. I mean, we've identified you just go with the odds and hope for the best. And a lot of times, I mean, because they're odds, they're in your favor, or you would not take the deal. I mean, they outline you have. Yeah. Two of these lower and one of these higher. Like you have to go with the numbers there. You don't. I mean, you could just freestyle it if you want to.
No one has made an egregious decision yet either, too. So it's like,
Well, Claudia's kind of was like, oh,
yeah.
So at the worst,
you have a 50-50 shot, and then at best, you could have, like we saw with Rob, set up to 75% chance. You might have a really, the odds are really in your favor, and you could cash out against the banker. So going against the banker is not the worst thing in the world. Dawson puts himself into that spot. 12 cases for Dawson. But I do think that Dawson ends up, this is where, and I've talked about this in the banker's temple. Dawson is doing, he opens up 500, 750, $1, a penny, $100. He only opens up one big case. And then the offer is $1,166,000. But it's actually a terrible deal from the bank. It's a deal is over $1 million, but there are five cases that are on the board that Dawson would lose if he took this deal. This would be what the one in six, like shot in the dark of pulling this off. This is like less than 20%. For Dawson to take the deal at this point.
That was the easiest decision of any of them we've seen. It was that first call from the banker.
It's backwards because people are like, Dawson, you're doing awesome. You open up the things. Like, no, you're doing terrible. He would have been better off if he opened up 3 million, 4 million, 2.5 million.
Is that terrible? Because it makes his decision super easy in that instance to keep playing. Whereas I feel like when you have half and half, like it's more stressful because you're like, you have no way, like you have equal odds. So you kind of have to keep playing and just look for the best.
Maybe I'm the one, no-brainer. And I'm looking at this backwards, but I feel like that the assignment is now beat the banker. And if I am Dawson, like this is going horrible.
Yeah.
In terms of me, Dawson, getting through this exercise.
If the banker is going to be trying to save money and still give low offers despite what's on the on the board, then maybe. But I think that any situation where you have an uneven board, it makes your decision easier on what you should do next. Yeah. So I think that. Maybe it's easier if the numbers that are left on the board are smaller to make the decision, whereas if they were bigger, but
Chappelle, you seem like you really disagree with this.
Yeah, I'm very confused because what I'm thinking is that if you take out all the little numbers or like Dawson did, then you do get an offer that is very high, but you also have higher numbers than that left on the board. So, like Jenny's saying, I got to play again because I can knock out the smaller things. And then my next offer is going to be even bigger. Now I might knock out some of the bigger stuff, but my number is going to go up exponentially, whereas like the banker is giving away its highest offers. But if you knock out all the high stuff, the banker's about to hit you with, all right, for $4,000, do you want to stay here? You're like, that,
Yeah. Bro, yeah. Wants to save money. That's your
best. Yes. Yes, I
that's
am.
That's your best that, chance to get your personal money is if, right, but if you are in a situation where you get such a like big offer from the banker and he's like going to have to dole out even more money. He's like, how about I just give you a lower amount of my
because,
money?
What I'm saying is that like, okay, so if he knocked all the high cases off the board, except for like what, like 2 million. So if he had like 2 million is on the board and then a penny, a dollar, $5, whatever is on the left side. Even if the deal comes in and okay, the banker's made a deal. It's not great. $1,200. I'm taking the deal because there's like five cases that I have. That potentially that my case could be lower than that, even though it's a low number, like compared to the $1 million, all the cases on the left-hand side of the board are all super low. So they're all going to be lower than whatever skanky offer I get from the banker. I might have a 5 out of 6 chance to stay.
Yeah.
Because my briefcase is probably going to be lower than even the dumb low offer from the banker. If I knocked out all the high numbers, does that make sense, Chappelle?
I mean, yes, but the thing is, you could still lose going for $1,200.
I know could. What I'm saying? Like if you,
but that's the thing. Your case does not change. Your odds change on if you have the right number. Like his number is going to go up because he knows what you have. Mm-hmm. You know, the banker's not just throwing. He knows what numbers are off or what numbers are left. He doesn't know what
but
you
they
have.
Say he doesn't the know what's yeah, in the case.
He doesn't know what you have, but he knows what the high end is and he knows what the low end is. So he's going to give you a choice that's difficult. Do you want to make a difficult choice for $1,200 or do you want to make a difficult choice for, you know, $1.2 million. That's this is a very different offer. Also, does he offer you $100,000 to walk away if you're only going for $12,000? They're like, fine.
If that's becoming like part of like how the game works, where the higher number you're running the banker's tab up, the more likely you might.
Yeah, and I don't know if Dawson knows that an offer is going to be coming in. I'm talking about for me, I want an easy decision to make, and having all the low numbers on the board and only one high number, then no matter what the offer
kind of
is,
what to Rob.
That is what happened to Rob, and he made the right choice of like I'm going to go with where the odds are.
Yeah, I mean, I just would rather the odds be in my favor for a high number than a low number. You know
obviously,
what I'm
but that's not that when you leave all the high numbers on the board, the offer comes in and it's like, this is a really good offer. And it's lower than all the cases that are on the board.
That's why after, the first couple cases you've opened are low, you should not be cheering against low numbers at that point. You should just be cheering for keeping within one area. Like, you know what I mean? Like, okay, this is what's happening. I'm getting rid of all of this side. Once you see what like the probability is starting to become because of what you've opened thus far, like if you've gotten rid of four big numbers, you shouldn't be rooting for small numbers anymore. Like you shouldn't want to open small numbers at that point. You should want what is going to make the easiest like odds for you to just make a good deal.
Yeah.
That's where it's like, they just want to see big numbers. Yeah. They just want to see big numbers. They're like, ah, at this point, it's actually better for you to open another small case.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to articulate is that, you're playing deal or no deal with the big numbers because that's all he has left, but you still get an offer that's relative to the numbers that you get. Whereas if you have two low numbers, like you got a penny and $100 and then you got millions, the banker could say, all right, 40,000, it's great if you have a low number. It's not if you have the million, but there's only one up there and your variance is so much, it's so big. Mm-hmm. Whereas like if you get rid of all the low numbers, so let's say you knock them all out. The banker's like, all right, I got to offer you 2 mil here, and then that way you're like, all right, now 2 mil versus the odds, I can play that game of deal or no deal with that. You just need one side to isolate. Yes. I don't think it's a matter of keep all the high numbers gone.
Yeah.
Unless you have some high numbers on the board. You know what I'm saying?
I'm just saying the numbers are so low on the left hand side that I think it's almost like a cheat. But I feel like that the game,
the offer is going to be big enough.
The game, the worst offer I'm going to get is going to $150 is still going to be like, there's still seven cases. It could still be that's going to be a good offer for me. Whereas if the cases were like 1,000, 5,000, 10,000, 15,000, like, there'd be a chance where like, now I'm really in a tough spot because there's still bad cases in there and the offer is right in the middle.
Mm. Yeah. I just feel like now we've created this kind of meta where you know, if you know that you're going to be running up the banker's like tab here, mm-hmm. and he's like, obviously, no matter what, having it isolated to one side over the other is good. But there is even more incentive for it to be a higher number because the banker might just, he's tired, he's impatient, like he's all these things that mm-hmm. Joe says he is. He's stressed out. That you might get some actual money for yourself mm-hmm. and just hit the old dusty trail. Like if we might see if we get season two, we might see people play a little differently because mm-hmm. of what we've seen with Miranda and now Dawson. I don't know.
Okay.
I mean, but even then, they're just rooting for the cases. They still don't have any control over what mm-hmm. case they end up with. He's like, yeah. All right, I'm rooting for all the small numbers. And then you get all the big numbers, like, shit. And you're like, I'm rooting for all the big numbers. You get all the small numbers, like, shit. There's nothing you can do to change your odds of which ones you're going to get. So it really comes down to like, you know, like, are you willing this into existence, right? Like, how hard are you really hoping that that's the penny in that case? You know, at the end of the day, they don't really have any control over any of that.
Yeah.
Dawson's original offer was $1,166,000. Okay, he says, no deal. All right. Goes back to work. Opens up $4.5 million, $3 million, oof. $4 million. Joe says,
yeah.
Well, that was the worst thing that could have happened.
Oh, no!
This is the worst possible thing that could have happened! Oh, my God!
Cut to the banker. Your offer's gone up.
Yeah. That's the worst thing. I still have to raise it, but just a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Like slightly.
Yeah.
I got to raise it.
Okay.
Highest offer you ever got
on this show. Yeah, $1,399,000. So
it was bound to happen.
Okay.
So
yeah. Still, he had one low case and then two cases that are higher. So his odds actually did go up to 33% of being safe had he taken that deal. But the banker calls back again with an offer, a personal offer. $100,000 to leave the game, Dawson.
GTFO for $100K, okay. He said.
Now, we said earlier in the show, good job by the banker. I said good job by Dawson. I think Jenny said good job by Dawson. Chappelle, you said come back to you later on in the show.
Yeah, because Jordan basically outlines it. She says, we get a lot of Jordan quotes in this episode, but okay. She says like, all right, if you leave that money behind and you survive this, it's a 1 in 6 chance that you ended up being a millionaire after this. Now, currently, we've already talked about how going up against the banker should not be that scary. You know what I'm saying? You play the odds and hope for the best. I mean, essentially, it's better than having somebody choose you. And we see that Dawson is, he basically asked himself to get put in the bottom. You know, like he basically asked to go to the guest there. So let's say he survives next round because of immunity. Or the next round because of immunity. Or maybe he has to go up against the banker again and he wins. There's not that many rounds left. At what point does it become a good gamble to go for the millions of dollars? Because the pot is only increasing. Right now, mm-hmm. it's at a couple mil. It'll probably end at about 5 million. And so
it's at 4 now, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. It's going up. And so I was like, yeah, it's $100,000 that you guaranteed to have, but At some point, someone's going to have to risk it to get that money. You know what I'm saying? If we're all just going to get bought out for 100K, what fun? I just feel like the odds are now starting to seep into 1 in 6 ain't that bad.
But here's the thing that isn't clear to me and something that I keep thinking about is when we get to down to the final person that faces the banker for the final case, this number that is growing with everything that they put in after each week, is it going to be back to when we get down to one person who plays the banker? Is it going back to normal deal or no deal rules where you can leave and take the money and that's now your money and not like you could walk out empty handed?
Yeah.
Because so
I think like they're going to be playing a deal or no deal game where maybe that the top prize might be what the prize pot is.
Yeah. See, and then there will be other briefcases and they'll get offers, but then they can take the like in the game thus far, unless the banker has made you a personal offer and saying, hey, you can walk away right now, 100K for yourself.
This is not your money. Yeah.
Then is it going to be like that in the final? I assume that someone could be like, you know what? Because if there's a risk that you don't even get whatever this giant pot is,
yeah,
then it's like, what yeah. am I playing for? The odds to maybe get like a big amount, well, whereas I can have guaranteed money.
I think you'll play a deal or no deal game and the banker will make you an offer and the offer will be like, all right, the banker has an offer. It's $730,000. What do you want to do? Mm-hmm. Like, so I don't
Well, you start chasing the dragon.
And see, but that's the thing with gambling, right? That's the point. But I do feel like this is a gambler's game, and that's why I said 1 in 6 actually not that bad odds.
But it's not 1 in 6. It's not 1 in 6 because Dawson still has not gotten out of that. Dawson could still lose and get nothing.
He could
still
not
lose.
Night.
So his odds are actually
survive.
Okay, yeah. Let's say he gets it down to 2 cases. So he still has to get through a 50-50. Before he gets through the 1 in 6, and I'm not a mathematician, but then that actually makes his odds, according to my very basic math here, a 9% chance to get to the end of the game.
Well, here's the thing. We've already identified that the banker sucks at getting anybody at beating these people, right? Mm-hmm. So the odds that you beat the banker are actually in your favor based on the elementary math we did at the beginning of this podcast, right?
They could be, but the odds are right now are he is down in the odds. If he could open up one more suitcase and get it to 50-50, it was 33% chance right now. And I know I always get the math wrong and I get it and I read the comments and you all tell me, but... So he can get it to 50-50 if he opens one more case. He will either make a good deal or make a bad deal when he gets it down to 50-50.
But now are we getting to the point where, and this is where like, is the banker just, his time's coming. You know what I mean? Like, the pendulum has to start swinging back, baby.
Yeah.
And like, suddenly the banker's going to have a couple good weeks where things go his way. And, like, I don't know.
And in reality, it's probably better than 1 in 6 in terms of Dawson being a physical competitor. But just to put it in survivor terms, we know about the shot in the dark. This would be, all right, Nick, you have to flip a coin and then call that right. And then after you flip the coin, then hit the shot in the dark.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Or the same as the shot in the dark.
Or walk away right now with 100K.
Yeah, look, I'm not saying that I feel like it's foolish to take the 100K. I just don't think that at this point, with 6 people left, you should be so easily swayed by the banker. Because, look, again, if Dawson doesn't take this deal, he potentially takes out one of his biggest threats in Aaron. Boston Rob has to potentially win or be in the bottom 2 to pick somebody to guess and take out. There's a 1 in 4 chance that it's going to be Dawson. It might not even be him. He might survive it because we know Boston Rob wants Stephanie out, wants Amy out. So that's another round where he's got to buy, basically. He's aligned with 3 people who are not targeting him at that point with Amy, whoever left of Amy and Stephanie, and obviously Nick is still there as well. So... win a couple of, you got a good alliance. You're in the majority.
Yeah.
You have somewhat of a shield and you could potentially win immunity. I don't see who's in a better position to not take this deal.
It's an interesting debate.
But does he become
debate.
A target if Rob and Aaron, once a Rob and Aaron are Rob? Off the,
yeah,
well, once
yeah,
they're off the
yeah.
table, you know what I mean?
Like, even then physically he has to beat Amy and Stephanie and Nick and Jordan. It's like, he's seen this. He seems pretty capable. I'm not going to say anything against Amy, but Amy's like one of the smaller competitors who we've seen people have not been taken very seriously in competitions. I'm just saying, if you're looking at the board, I'm kind of like, listen, maybe don't even target Aaron here. Maybe take out Jordan. Well, she's safe. Mm-hmm. But you got to take out Aaron here.
Only
but that's what I'm saying.
Eight,
like you,
Amy.
But then you can hide a little bit. You know what I'm saying? Like, I just feel like if you're going to be gambling for millions of dollars, now might be the time to start gambling.
But once Rob goes, is Dawson like the most likely person to get taken out when Amy or Stephanie goes up into, they have an alliance of 4, but they're going to start turning on each other.
Yeah.
Again, I just feel like if it's a game of social strategy, maybe that's something you should be planning for. What is his final game? What is his end game always? Well, I guess it'd just be the 4 of us and then we'll all duke it out. You see how often that helps and it works for people in these reality games. Mm-hmm. Like, no, you need to start building another alliance within this alliance and saying, okay, we got out Aaron. Now, once we get through Rob and Jordan, Nick, he can go. Amy, Stephanie, y'all good with that? You know what I'm saying? Like, I just feel like it took a lot of the wiggle room for him to play the game out of the, like, just by saying, here's 100K. And I think it makes the game a little bit less interesting. So I like, I think it's a good deal.
I agree with that.
The money. But yeah, I think that if you, like, listen, the gambler, the ultimate gambler is the one who will win this game. And if you're not willing to gamble,
that's what the banker says. Yeah. That's a good point. You argued it well. You know?
Yeah, that's what I was like. I don't know if it's so cut and dry. My other thing, too, is that I don't think the final challenge is going to be a game of Deal or No Deal versus the banker. Like, I know they've said that, but they keep building this prize pot, and they're not saying it's a briefcase of many briefcases. They're just like, but there's a prize pot.
They play the ultimate game of Deal or No Deal.
I know they're saying it, but I don't believe them.
Yeah.
I don't believe it.
But I can't. Well, what do you think that the last challenge is going to be like an obstacle course, and then the winner is going to get, like, you know, $7 million?
I don't know, because the problem is that this whole time they've been like, okay, before we play Deal or No Deal, we have to get a number of briefcases banked, right? Maybe the final challenge is some type of obstacle course where they are going to get other briefcases to go along with this $7 million pot. But it's just the fact that they're building one pot that makes me feel like, okay, well, why are we building this whole pot if you're going to ultimately tell me, okay, here's the offer, $200,000. Like, what? Why did I do all this extra stuff to get to that point? So maybe I'm just.
But if the numbers are so big, then like the chances are that like the offers will be pretty fantastic.
Big as well. Right. But like, what's me not taking away? Okay, your offer is $4 million. Okay, bye. You know, like at that point, I'm like, yeah, take the deal.
I think the problem here too with this being like the first, you know, the first run of this new concept of a show is that people don't really know, including us, exactly how we get to the end and what the end game looks like. And that is the hallmark of any show that we seem to talk about on Hit or Quit. Like, we don't know how this is actually going to end and how we get there. And there's been so much talk on this show about like, oh, getting down to the final two. Like, why do they all think there's some sort of final two? And there's so much discussion about it being physical. And like you were saying, Chappelle, like, okay, well, Dawson's in a good situation where he's like, you know, he's a pretty fit guy and like can probably like win, you know, himself some safety from here on out. But like, I think there's enough variance in some of these challenges that we might see the banker be like, oh, the banker wants to change it up. And now it's like a freaking trivia challenge the next week or something. So I don't think it's a necessary, like, it's hard to calculate your chances to do well in something when you don't know what the game is.
And Alyssa, I think, was worried about problem. A trivia challenge against Aaron at the end of the game.
Right? She even said that. But
listen,
but she was basing what she expected on Big Brother is what kind of what she was saying in the interview.
But the best way to keep Aaron from going up against you in a trivia challenge is beating him and then eliminating him and not eliminating yourself. Yeah. That's all I'm saying is if you have to risk it to get the biscuit, a wise man once said. And, you know, I'm just saying.
Taste the biscuit.
Take the risk. You know what I'm saying? Like, bro, you came here for this whole time for 100K. Congratulations. I'm glad you got the money. But again, I think the game needs to reward the person who's going to make the big move. And I don't think
that's. Maybe Chappelle's the banker. Has anybody thought about that?
If I was the banker, this would have gone completely different.
He tried to divert the attention off of him by saying, you know what? I think Rob Sestrini is the banker. That is a classic move.
You know, this is a double cross because Jenny is the banker and Jenny thinks that by putting it on. No.
They keep saying, okay, Joe refers to the banker and says he, okay? And so, not my pronoun, so it's not me. I'm just saying. So more likely to be one of the two of you, but either way, you really shouldn't be wanting to be the banker right now because the banker's bleeding money.
Okay.
He's not doing well. He has to give money away to get rid of people at this point.
All right, so we're down to six. Rob and Aaron survive to fight another day, or Rob to fight for another day. Aaron to exist for another
with
day.
Aaron, yes. He's there.
And then Jordan, who has emerged, plus the Night Owls are down to three: Stephanie and Amy and Nick. And we'll see if they can survive without. Was Dawson the leader of the Night Owls?
I think Amy's the alpha.
Remember, Dawson is a narcissist. He made people eat his toenails.
Yeah, but that's why I think that that's why he's not enough in control of it. Like, I think that he's like, he has too much like of his own stuff going on, where I think that like Amy talks about Rob being the puppet master of the Rob mob. Mm-hmm. And I see she's bringing her people together. Nothing brings a group together like gossiping and hating on the same person. And I watch how Amy's like, God, isn't Rob like just he? Look at the way that he controls everything. Like, Amy is the cult leader of that side, mm-hmm. is my take there. And that's why I've been saying the entire time that that's the most dangerous person for Rob. It's because she's kind of doing the same thing he does, but for the opposition. He's like, they're the other people now, and we need to get them out. Like, we're all buds, like, we're all family, and we're all owls, I guess. So that's my take. I don't think that Dawson was a glue. I think he was an important piece, and I think that Dawson was always on that side, whereas Nick seemed to have kind of floated over. But I think that Amy is the leader.
Yeah, I agree. I think Amy is the leader. I think Dawson was just in a really good spot, and I think that, like, he did all that hard work and just forfeited it. But again, he got 100K, so I can't fault him.
Okay.
If someone off, I'm telling, like, I will say, we've talked through the reasons why odds wise, maybe, you know, it wasn't worth the risk without knowing how it could go for Dawson. I will say, if you really want and or need 100K, I can only imagine how hard it is to not say no in that instance where you have an actual guaranteed paycheck. Right, dangled right in front of you. So I completely understand where he's coming from with that. I can't imagine saying no to 100K, but
right.
That's why this game is wild. 100K you know?
American, Jenny.
Yeah, I would love 100K American. That'd be so much more money for me. That's why the Canadians coming and winning Survivor, it's like, you have no idea.
Mm-hmm.
That's the biggest payday. Yep. No taxes, too.
Okay. All right, Chappelle, anything else for Deal or No Deal Island before you talk to Dawson tomorrow?
No, this was good. It was a fun episode, Deal or No Deal Island. I really wish more people were watching this show. We say it all the time, but Donnie's really good. It's delivering. Yeah. And it somehow has not lost any steam. You know, we've had a few big fights, but it's still chugging along.
Yeah.
You know, like I said, the banker is very invested in making sure this is still an entertaining show. And so I imagine that there'll be a few more shenanigans moving forward, but... I'm here for it.
We get a nice response on the Deal or No Deal podcast. You know, I follow the views and the comments and what y'all are saying and watching Chappelle's exit interviews. And so, yeah, there's a lot of people that check out our Deal or No Deal Island coverage. So we appreciate you all coming on this journey with us. It's been fun.
Yeah. We're fondy of the Dondies.
Fondy of the Dondies.
Right.
Dondy gang.
Right.
Dondy gang.
So... Yeah. It's been a good ride. A lot more to do. We've got the exit interview coming up on Tuesday, so check that out. And a few more surprises, I think, along the way. Jenny, what else is coming up for you?
Nothing. Last week was really fun. I got to see some familiar faces up here in the Great White North, and I'm still recovering from that because... It's a lot, but yeah, just enjoying the Dondi. And again, if you're gonna be in Chicago, look forward to seeing you. I finally got my flights.
Nice.
I'll be there. It's legit. It's happening. Can't wait to see the two of you.
Yep.
And yeah, I just want to echo the sentiments that Rob just had there. The people that listen and support this podcast are real ones.
The best people.
It really does bring me joy to know that. People are watching and listening along and having fun with it because it's a freaking great time. It is literally sunshine in my life, like the two of you. And that's all I've got. Follow me on social media at Jenny Autumn, and that's it.
Okay. Great job, Jenny. Chappelle?
Yes. You can, of course, find me here on Rob Has a Podcast, still talking about Below Deck every week with Sasha. We were having some YouTube issues. We're going live recently. So Sasha and I are going to have that Below Deck podcast out to you. We should have it out by now. But we weren't able to go live on Wednesday. But most Wednesdays, we're going live on YouTube at 3 p.m. Eastern to talk about the most recent episodes of Below Deck. So check that out. Rob ditched me for the week to go up to the Great White North. Mm-hmm. And so I took over Club Condo by myself with my special guests, Maggie Morgan and Brian Scally last week.
But we have a brand new Club Condo today, Chappelle. I made up for it. I don't know why you're talking about last week.
I mean, but the things you said today.
Rob said old news.
Yeah, but the things you said today were just so toxic and problematic. I was problematic. Yeah. Too problematic.
I think actually you should probably go listen now to find out what that was.
It was spicy and a little ghetto too, but whatever. That's Club Condo when Rob's back. But yeah, check that out last week. It was a great time. Nothing but Netflix this week. Josh Wigler and I talked about White Collar, USA's White Collar from the same universe that kind of brought you Suits. Rob knows a lot about that. Mm-hmm. Well, Josh and I went back to the well and talked about that, which is new on Netflix. And so check that out on Nothing But Netflix. And then, of course, you can catch me on Recap Kickback. That's recapkickback.com, where you can keep up with all of my podcasting. On Thursday, we dropped our movie review for the movie Shirley on Netflix. It was Mari, LaTanya, and myself. Sasha and I are talking about Summer House, Martha's Vineyard on Recap Kickback. So check that out if you're a fan of that show. And then Gia and I are doing recaps of Abbott Elementary as well. So check all that out and more. And follow me on all social media platforms at Recap Kickback.
All right. Thank you so much for joining us for Donde. We love Donde. To read your comments. Hit like and subscribe on the video, too, if you'd be so kind. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.